Well, we hope you're ready for another Dave and Darren's Top 5 Things podcast. Hey, everybody. My name is Dave. This is my partner, Darren, and you're about to hear the Top 5 Things podcast. These are the top 5 things we got done on our morning show on Planet 93.9. Hello, Darren.
Hello. We should let everyone know that the podcast is brought to you by Nature's Treatment of Illinois, Tech Drive in Milan, and West Main Street in Galesburg. Nature's Treatment offers a wide selection of products for recreational use, including an ever-expanding inventory of flower, vapes, and edibles. You can sign up for the newsletter and connect with Nature's Treatment on Facebook, on Twitter and Instagram.
Yes. Not on Facebook.
Not on Facebook.
Yeah, Facebook can eat it. Here we go. Number one.
Number one.
Over in China, they are testing people that they consider to be at a high risk of contracting COVID-19, right? The state TV reporting that they've begun testing people in different neighborhoods. There were confirmed cases in Beijing last week, so they're going in these neighborhoods, and the government in China is doing these tests on people. And then, you know, if you're found to have it, they put you in a designated quarantine facility, right? Why this is newsworthy is the way they're testing people for COVID-19. What they're using to find the COVID, the coronavirus, they're using anal swabs to go searching for the COVID-19.
Talk about long lines. You're going to have longer lines than Chick-fil-A.
Haven't we already tested you?
Yes, that's,
Did you get back in line?
No, my name.
I know that's you, Wang.
My name is Lee Burns.
Officials took anal swabs from residents in neighborhoods that had confirmed COVID-19 cases. Small localized outbreaks in recent weeks have resulted in multiple cities in northern China being sealed off from the rest of the country and prompting mass testing campaigns.
Now, we shouldn't really even have to say this, but yes, only use the swab once.
They've been doing a lot of throat and nose swabs. I'm hoping they don't get these confused too, right?
Boy, oh boy. You know how far they put that swab up your nose?
Yeah.
I wonder if that's necessary.
Yeah, I don't know how.
Here.
I don't know how far they go.
You've got it under my sternum.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
The anal swabs method can, they say, increase the detection rate of infected people. It detects
it's the best.
Traces of coronavirus longer. There are traces of it in your anus longer than there are traces of it in your respiratory tract. So it's apparently a better way to test people.
I'd like to know I have that option.
Wrecked them, damn near killed them.
The state TV over there saying anal swabs would not be used as wisely as the other methods, like, you know, down your throat or up your nose, because the technique they say is, quote, not convenient.
But somewhat liberating. Sure, you've got to go the extra mile.
You may wait in line a little bit longer, but, you know, this is your health. It's...
All in good time.
Yeah, it's not something you want to take any chances with.
You want the most accurate results
possible. Yes, of course. You don't want to take any chances. You make sure that this is, you know.
Didn't I see you here yesterday?
No, there's another guy. How do you want to do this? If it's okay with you, I'm going to bite down on my billfold. What? We have audio here of someone being tested in China with an anal swab, but you want to hear this? I don't know if we'll be able to understand because this is happening in a neighborhood in Beijing, but I guess this is what it sounds like.
Is this feeling something real?
Well, huh. I, I guess some things are just universal. I've not heard of this. That's
well, it's an advancement.
That's progress, huh?
Modern day science.
Number two. Big news if you are a fan of the WWE, they are shutting down the WWE network, which is crazy because that's been incredibly successful.
And then your NBC Sports is going away
too? Yes. So this is what they're doing. Because NBC Universal has essentially bought the WWE network. They will be moving the WWE network to Peacock.
Okay.
Which is the streaming service NBC owns. Multi-year agreement will start on March 18th. So the WWE network will then move to Peacock. All of their pay-per-view events will be streamed through Peacock. So WrestleMania, SummerSlam, Money in the Bank, all of those will now be on Peacock on the WWE network, which is now a part of Peacock. It's not its own thing. The WWE network is $10 a month to have it. And they have, what did I read? 1.7 million subscribers? So that's a moneymaker. This deal, the Wall Street Journal says, is worth more than $1 billion, and it will run for 5 years. You can purchase the WWE network through Peacock Premium for $4.99 a month. Right now, it costs you $9.99 a month to have the WWE network.
So is that where the NBC Sports Network is going as well?
Well, they're getting rid of the NBC Sports Network entirely.
Right.
And they want to move what sports they have onto the Peacock Premium. The fact that they're getting rid of NBC Sports, the network, is kind of confusing because NBC Sports, that channel, the NBC Sports channel, is second only to ESPN. Towers above Fox Sports 1 and Fox Sports 2.
Okay.
Towers above ESPN 2.
And then
2.
You have that in all the different markets, right? So that you have your...
a different thing.
That's a different thing?
Yeah.
The NBC Sports Chicago is a different thing?
Yeah, that's a different channel.
Okay, so those guys don't get affected by that.
Well, I don't know. I shouldn't think so because those are local moneymakers. The NBC Sports Chicago is a different channel than the NBC Sports Network. That's more of like a national thing that they were doing.
That no one watches.
Lots of people watch. That's why it doesn't make any sense that they would get rid of it because they're shutting down the sports network, and WrestleMania will now be on Peacock for the next 5 years. Again, it's a $1 billion deal.
And what's Peacock cost?
It's free unless you want to watch it without commercials, right? Or then if you want other premiums added, you have to pay. So if you want, what does Peacock cost a month? I think it's $10 a month. And then for another $5, you can watch all the WWE stuff. NASCAR was on NBCSN Sports Network. Hockey, of course, that was really the only time I ever watched NBCSN was for hockey games. All of that's now moving to Peacock. And NBC Sports Network will cease operation by the end of the year. They're going to move all of their sports to either the USA Network that they own or Peacock. The USA Network will be your home now for the Stanley Cup playoff games. So, you know, instead of Suits or whatever they're showing on the USA Network, that's where you'll get to watch the Stanley Cup. NBC Sports also carried a lot of the English Premier League soccer when they first launched, but then they moved that all off of NBC Sports to Peacock. March 18th. So if you've got the WWE Network, you don't have a lot of time to get this figured out, especially if you want to watch Fastlane, which is the next pay-per-view event. That's on March 21st. But yeah, that's a $1 billion deal they just signed. So now Raw, which is the Monday night product, that's on USA Network. So NBC owns that. SmackDown is the one that's on Fox, and they will air on Fox SmackDown, but then they will run reruns of that on the WWE Network. $9.99 a month on the commercial-free Peacock Premium Plus. So I think that's what they want, is another $10 for Peacock.
What is the Miz up to?
You know, I'll be honest. We got rid of the WWE Network a couple of months ago. Mm. I don't know what any of them are up to. Mm. It just, it's hard for me to watch WWE without fans in the stands. It just seems like an assault is taking place. It doesn't seem like entertainment to me when there's no one watching it.
It's like being at the Uptown Grill.
Yeah, it's just, it just feels like you're watching, you know, the violence isn't as easy to digest when there's no one there. I think they've done something now where they have like virtual fans, or they have something called Thunderdome that they've built. I just, until there's people watching for real, I've kind of checked out of the WWE, and so is my family.
Now, how many live events have you been to?
WWE?
Mm-hmm.
Handful.
Okay.
I'd say three or four, maybe? I'm trying to think. When I went to a Raw taping back in the Attitude Era, when it was at the then Mark of the Quad Cities.
Attitude Era?
Oh, it was something else. Those were the days. Those were the heady days.
What does that mean?
That's when the WWF at the time had a real attitude. Huh. It was your Stone Colds, your Rocks, your Mankinds. And I've been to a couple of shows since with my son.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. There is nothing better for my money than going to, I've been to a couple of house shows, a couple of live shows that are, you know, on network television. My favorite thing about going to a WWE event, and it's not even close, the people watching is extraordinary.
Yeah.
Especially the grown men.
Who have belts.
Who will walk around the concourse with belts. They will spend hundreds of dollars for replicas of WWE championship belts, and they walk around.
Now, do
like,
they wear them, or do they put them
put
over
them
their,
on
shoulder?
Yeah. It's like, hey, I'm here if I need
does
to
anyone,
be activated.
Does anyone wear it, though? Around their waist?
I feel
not
like
for the most part.
I feel like when I see dudes walking around with a replica
it's
belts,
on the shoulder.
It's on the shoulder.
Uh-huh.
And partly because those belts are meant to fit the people who won them. Not
me.
Some dude who bought it for $300 online. It is the greatest. Just watching, and it you'll notice it, and then you'll see more and more, and then you realize like there's like 50 guys. Grown men.
Oh, I don't doubt
walking
it.
Around with belts on, like, I mean, it would be like, imagine if you went to a bear game and you were sitting in the stands with the Lombardi trophy in your lap. Like, what would that be about? This is what it's all about right here. This is the hard work. This is why we do the hard work.
You could hide
right here.
You could hide a lot of booze in that trophy.
Imagine going to a NHL game. And you get one ticket for you and one ticket for your full-scale replica of the Stanley Cup. And you're just walking around the concourse with the Stanley Cup. That would be great.
Would you have the white gloves on?
Oh, well, you have to. You've got to treat it with the respect that it's due.
Respect it's due.
Yeah,
aren't you allowed to do anything you want to it?
When you win it, but you
that's
still
what I mean.
Well, you gotta. Oh, I see what you're saying.
When you get your day with it,
you're right. There's only the one guy that wears the gloves.
Yeah,
the players don't wear gloves.
No, they can do anything they want.
So then I guess you don't wear gloves and you just pour your beer in it and drink your beer out of the Stanley Cup at the games. Is that what you do?
I'll have another freshie.
Can you fill up my
Stanley Cup
my
trophy
Stanley Cup,
right
please.
Here. Thank you.
I would just like to I'd like to win this, if you please. I'd just like to put this in here and you show up at a Quad City Storm game with a replica of the President's Cup. Just put the popcorn right in here.
Or you've actually whipped up a small tornado.
Now, that would be pretty boss.
There's a tiny little tornado here in the seat next to me. Is it getting windy back there, everybody? Isn't this something?
It's the real fans know.
Number three.
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 If you swear, if you curse like a sailor, studies suggest that that is a sign of intelligence.
Mm-hmm. Now, they've always told you the opposite.
Right. I think if we picture someone who swears all the time. In our mind, we might make an assumption that they're not very bright.
Mm-hmm.
But science suggesting that actually, no, numerous studies saying that people who swear are more intelligent, more honest, and more creative. Also, swearing is a way to withstand pain. Swearing deemed the language of poverty. Researchers finding well-educated people are better at coming up with curse words than those with a smaller vocabulary. It's important to not only swear, but not to just rely on one or two of them. Use all of those swear words in your golf bag.
Where do you think I rank in there?
In terms of swearing?
I mean, you've known me for years. You've heard me talk honestly. Am I a big swearer, a low swearer, or kind of pretty normal for the people you know?
Oh, you're certainly normal for the people I hang out with. I wouldn't say you're above average.
So not a big one.
No, I wouldn't say, like, if I were to write down a list of attributes about you, partner, I don't know that swearing would be there. I think one of the reasons our partnership has endured all these years is I feel like you and I swear at about the same level.
I think you're probably right.
Right? And
so you wouldn't notice so much.
No.
My swearing.
If someone swears all the time and it just feels tacked on or extraneous, then that's something that would drive you nuts.
Yeah.
But with you, I mean, you tend to swear when it's appropriate. Often when you swear, you'll be describing something and I'm thinking the same swear words in my mind as you're telling them, right? So if you're fed up with something or frustrated, like those are good times to use profanity,
right? So pretty middle of the road, right? That's about,
I wouldn't say that you are certainly not obnoxious in your use of curse words, right? Uh-huh. I also don't feel like you don't use it. Because there are people I know, good friends, who don't swear as much as I would like them to. Because it makes me feel like I'm somehow lower in status when I'm cursing and they're not. You know?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then people who don't curse, every once in a while when they do, that's when it's great. Like when you hear someone's mom curse for the first time, that's great. Like if you've known them forever and then the mom just out of nowhere drops a bomb, you're like, that's fantastic. I have a newfound respect for that lady.
I don't see people's moms much anymore.
Timothy Jay is Professor Emeritus of Psychology at the Massachusetts College of Liberal Arts, which I have to assume is in Boston, which is crazy because that's not much of a college town.
It is not. Look it up.
Studied swearing for more than 40 years. And he says the advantages of swearing are many. Quote, the benefits of swearing have just emerged in the last two decades as a result of a lot of research on brain and emotion, along with much better technology to study brain anatomy. A number of studies have been conducted into what they call the art of swearing, and the belief is there is an evolutionary advantage to swearing, or we would not have evolved to become creatures who swear.
I guess that makes sense.
I never thought of it that way.
I guess you could say that about just about everything, right?
Right. There must be a reason for us to do it, otherwise why would we do it? There was a study that this guy did, a work tested a participant's ability to generate words based on a given letter. And the results showed that the ones who formulated the most words, along with animal names, also used the most swear words. People that had the biggest vocabulary were able to use the most swear words. They also, this fellow and his team, found that swear words positively correlated with the big five personality traits. Openness, neuroticism, and openness, and negatively correlated with agreeableness and conscientiousness. Neuroticism and openness have been found to correlate with honesty, which suggests that those who swear might also be the most brutally honest people. And I guess if you're saying a curse word, it's like you're kind of exposing a little bit of yourself when you're using that kind of language.
Mm-hmm.
So you're not putting up a front, like you're not censoring yourself when you talk, so that might be part of the fact that, you know, that you're more of an honest person when you
what about
speak more
as
freely,
a
yeah?
stress reliever?
Well, they've done studies with pain, actually, where people, there's a link people had their hands submerged in ice water.
Or you stub a toe or something.
And they found that there is a link between swearing and an increase in pain tolerance.
Yeah.
So when you hit your hand with a hammer accidentally and you drop a board, you're doing that because it activates something in your brain that helps you deal with the pain. You're not just using it because you're upset that you're in pain. There is an actual physiological benefit to using that kind of language. Just, they say, it could be a sign, again, of intelligence, honesty, creativity, and pain tolerance, which are four things I think everyone would like to have, right?
Unless, of course, it's just, you've got one compound word and that's all you use. And it's for everything.
It can be a little annoying when somebody misuses a swear word, where it's like, that's not what that means. You know?
Can you give me an example?
Not on the air. Okay. Not if I want to keep the station's license. You know, it's like...
You can tell me off air.
I'll tell you off air. There's a show on Netflix that I'm dying to watch. I don't know if you've heard of this. It's The History of Swearing. A documentary. And your host... The History of Swear Words.
Yeah.
Your host is Nicolas Cage.
Huh.
Yeah. And he kind of gives you the history of all of the words. There are 6 20-minute episodes where Nicolas Cage...
They just cover a particular word?
Yeah, it's like, here, the word we're going to deal with is this.
Uh-huh.
And they go through the history of the word. That's... I keep meaning to watch this. The aim of the show History of Swear Words, they say, is to defang swearing. The mere act of saying a word over and over again for 20 minutes it might banish the taboo of that word, they say.
You know who would have been a good host?
For the History of Swear Words?
Uh-huh.
Who's that?
Kirk Cameron.
I'm gonna go out on a limb and say that Nick but, Cage hey, probably does a better
hey,
job.
Hey, buddy, we got a project for you.
Number four.
Fat Tuesday is February the 16th.
Okay, so that's a ways away.
Lent begins on Ash Wednesday, which is February the 17th in 2021. New Orleans trying to navigate Mardi Gras this year. They're not going to have the parades.
Uh-huh.
It's not the best idea to have parades, so they're going to take the year off from having the parades. But this is an interesting idea. All around New Orleans, thousands of houses are being decorated as floats. Because the coronavirus outbreak has canceled the big parades, we got big crowds, right, for Fat Tuesday. So now, because they're not having parades, they're going to have their houses decked out to look like floats. And then I guess they'll throw beads from like the roof at people. How is that going to work?
Or just from your window.
Open the window, throw out some beads.
To who, though?
Well, people that are walking separately, you know. If people are out walking, keeping distant from each other, then you can just throw them their beads. Of course, now you have to earn your beads, don't you? Isn't that part of the gimmick?
What do we have for Easter this year? Is that early or late?
Well, if Lent starts on the 17th, then it would be April 4th would be Easter this year.
Okay.
Yeah. It's a movable feast.
Kind of a sweet spot, I suppose, there for Easter.
Smaller groups announcing no parade plans before the city officially canceled the parades. Pandemic replacements include scavenger hunts for signature trinkets that normally would be thrown from floats or handed out from a streetcar. There will also be outdoor art and drive-through virtual parades. The crew of Bacchus even has an app where people can catch and trade virtual beads during carnival and watch a virtual parade when the parade was supposed to happen on Valentine's Day. Now it'll be a virtual parade. But this house float movement started almost the minute they announced that they weren't going to be doing parades, and they made that announcement before Thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm.
We're doing this. Turn your house into a float and throw all the beads from your attic at neighbors walking by. Originally, this started out as a joke, but the more they thought about it, they thought this actually could make some sense.
And only throw beads at people.
What else would you throw?
Hmm. I don't know. If you had some sort of aggression. Trying to pick people off. What day do we get the Poonchkies?
Fat Tuesday.
All right.
Yeah. That's Fat Tuesday.
Nice.
Yeah. The official start of the Mardi Gras season down there is January 6th. And then people, you know, kind of fly in. It's not just a couple of days down there. It's a whole thing. But now they're calling it the Crew of House Floats. And people will be decorating their homes to look like floats and then throwing beads at neighbors. I think that's great. Maybe that's what we do for Gumbo Yaya.
When's Groundhog's Day?
That's on February 2nd this year.
February 2nd.
Always February 2nd.
Always February 2nd. Yeah,
that's not a movable feast. You got big plans for Groundhog's Day?
That's a Taco Tuesday.
I wonder if they'll do Groundhog Day.
Groundhog's Day is next Tuesday.
Doesn't make a ton of sense to have a bunch of people standing
in
a park.
Will the groundhog have an adorable little mask on?
Oh, I bet you're right.
Right through that thing, just like the Packers coach.
I bet you're right. I bet that's what they'll do.
I love that look last Sunday when he knew, oh boy, this is bad. This is bad.
The not going for a touchdown when there's two minutes left?
And he had his mask and he was just chewing it.
I'm dreading the reviews tomorrow. I'll tell you that.
Five.
Number five.
Chick-fil-A, both sides of the river. You got your 53rd Street.
Yeah.
And then
John Deere Road.
Got your John Deere Road. Is there still one open at South Park Mall?
That I don't know. That was the original.
Yeah, right. And then there was one at North Park Mall. Is that still there? I'll be honest. It's been a while since I've been to the mall. But I will say in the drive-through locations in Moline and in Davenport, there are times when you drive by a Chick-fil-A and you see a line that is just so ungodly long and you think, well, it's not worth it. I'm not going to pull in and wait in line for 45 minutes to get my Chick-fil-A.
Mm-hmm.
But then you decide to go ahead and do it anyway, and then you marvel at how quickly you get through the line because they know what they're doing. They're able to get people in and out because they have those kids that'll be waiting in the parking lot for you well before you get to the window. They'll be taking your orders.
They don't really have that large a menu.
There's that, but they have a lot of people.
It's not Jack in the Box.
It's true. There's a Chick-fil-A employee in the news. Now, this happened in Mount Pleasant, South Carolina. They were doing vaccines at a vaccine site, and the traffic was ungodly long.
Sure.
And that's when someone who works at Chick-fil-A said, well, I can fix this. Massive traffic from a software glitch, bringing the COVID-19 vaccine site in South Carolina over the weekend to a standstill. That's when the mayor of the town knew who to call. He calls the local Chick-fil-A manager, Mayor Wayne Haney, Mr. Haney, Mayor Haney of Mount Pleasant, South Carolina, calls the manager of the local Chick-fil-A and says, I know that your workers are able to work with long lines.
Uh-huh.
Can we borrow them? And this was on a Sunday, so I was like, yeah, they're not doing anything. So the manager shows up on the scene and reduces the traffic so that the hour-long wait to get your vaccine, they shaved it down to just 15 minutes.
Pretty good.
Yeah. The mayor thanking the manager of this Chick-fil-A for his services in a tweet saying, when you need help, call the pros. So this guy from Chick-fil-A is able to show up and just figure out the line to the point where you're only waiting 15 minutes as opposed to an hour for your COVID vaccine.
The guy who opened the, I think it must have been, it was probably his franchise. The very first Chick-fil-A in South Park Mall was the principal at my school before I went to high school. He was the high school principal years before I got there.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and so he got, forget about, let's, I'm done with this.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go do this.
South Park and North Park Mall still have locations? Is that right? Or have they gotten rid? Did they get rid of the South Park one? Let us know on the Snowstar Extreme Sports text line if they still have the Chick-fil-A's in the
mall. Is Record Bar still open?
470-23-NACHO. That is the Snowstar Extreme Sports text line. What is Record Bar?
That was a...
That's before my time in the Quad Cities.
It was a music show. It was where you got your records or your cassettes.
Record Bar?
Record Bar.
Not Barn.
Not Record Barn.
That's not bad. Record Bar.
Should mention that all the runs and the terrain park is open at Snowstar Extreme Sports. The rails are set as well, so dress warm and come out to Snowstar for a family fun day. Plenty of fresh snow out there, plenty of fresh powder, but make sure you call ahead to prepay for tubing. Numbers are limited. Prepay guarantees you a spot. For all the information concerning Snowstar, go to skisnowstar.com. Know this, they're going to be celebrating their 40th anniversary coming up this Sunday. And what that means is the first 75 kids, 12 and under, are going to receive a free swag bag, and they'll have some yummy treats while they last as well.
Yummy. This is a text from the 563, a question on the Snowstar Extreme Sports text line. 563 wants to know, has Darren fallen on the ice yet this year?
No, I haven't. I've come close a couple times.
Yeah.
But not yet. The dogs almost tried to drag me down as well.
Oh, that's a new wrinkle.
Well, I've dealt with it in the past.
Hmm.
That's like one of my big fears.
Is having the dogs kill you?
Well, disable me. And then, and more.
It's not in their best interest to have you disabled.
Well, and more importantly,
yeah,
disable me and then get away.
Oh, no.
I would hope that they would.
So you're lying freezing on the ground while they run away. And
yeah, right.
Oh, that is now, that's a fear.
It is a fear. I tend to think that some of them, I don't know if all of them, would maybe come back to check on me. I can't be for certain.
Is it all over, Rock?
I guess so.
I didn't think it'd be like this.
That was the Top 5 Things podcast. We're already getting to work on another one for you. Thanks for downloading and subscribing and, most importantly, listening to the podcast. Darren, it was brought to us by Nature's Treatment of Illinois, I understand.
It sure was. They've got a location in Milan, which is open every day, and Galesburg is open weekdays and Saturdays. The Milan store offers both medicinal and recreational. Galesburg is recreational only, and those recreational waiting lists are available on the website. That makes it nice and easy. It's a very simple process. You can reserve your time at ntillinois.com.
Till we get a chance to do it for you again, hang loose, kooks.
And you stay classy and safe, Quad Cities.
Come on, Quad Cities, represent. This is for the Quad Cities reference spot. Davenport, yeah, we keeping it locked.
Rock on,
come on, and it just don't stop. East Moline, yeah, they keeping it hot.